This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Paul Springer at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. He brings us a message entitled, Do You Know? The scripture reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. And now, Brother Springer. Today I want to ask a question. In fact, we want to ask several questions. Would you like to know the future? Millions of dollars are spent every day, right? Trying to predict what's going to happen in the stock market or in your career or questions on a test, right? And then, so what about your health or your homes? I mean, we buy insurance to help protect us because we don't know what's going to happen, right? Would you want to know something good or bad before it happened? Well, maybe, maybe not, right? And would you make any adjustments or changes in your life because of knowing that thing? Well, again, maybe or maybe not. Well, God has revealed Himself and His will to us and also told us the future, that one day this universe He created will end and that our life here on earth is going to be judged according to His word that He has revealed to us, and then we will spend our eternal future in heaven or in hell. So far, no new information, right? You already knew all that. So, yes, you can know your future. Today I want to ask three main questions. They're kind of rhetorical. That means you don't have to answer out loud. You think to yourself about yourself. This is questions for you. And so the first question we want to look at today is, well, the first three clicks worked. If the Lord were returned today, are you ready? Now, you've heard that question before. Are you ready to answer for the life that you lived on that great day of the Lord? Possible answers so far are yes, no, and I don't know. Now, God has revealed to us through His Word we'll get the signal going. Let's try this side. Through His Word, that the scripture reading we just read, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, even back in Solomon's time, he said every secret thing is going to be judged, and the wise man knows that his whole being is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Hebrews 9, 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment. Joel 2, 11, for strong is the one who executes His word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Jesus warns us in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. While most folks believe that there will be a judgment, today's question is really, do you want to know your current status? It's not in the future status. Do you want to know your current status? You see, some people say ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know. It surprised me, right? That's not a good surprise, is it? Some folks ignore it or act like they don't care about it. Some to avoid internal conflict. Some just want to do their own thing, which is idolatry. Some just busy themselves so they don't have to deal with it. I'm so busy, I don't have time to think about it. I don't have time to worry about it or prepare for it. Your soul, though, and where you will spend eternity is the most important question to everyone who has ever lived. Eternity is a very, very long time, right? Do you know your current status? Now, some do not realize, though, that they are already condemned. John 3, 18, second half of the verse says, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's just a matter of time. But their status is, if they don't change, they're already condemned. The Bible gives list after list of sins and attitudes and actions that end with the phrase something like, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we've studied those passages. And if you're currently practicing these things and have not repented and have not been forgiven, then it's no secret what your current status is, right? It's not a secret. Whether you choose to know or not, you will be judged. Just like in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, he talks about the small and the great standing before God. Even the sea, the death, Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Every one will be judged that's ever lived. So you can't avoid this. But even if I wanted to know my eternal future today, my current status, is it possible for me? Can I know that I am ready for that great day? Many people don't think they can know. So I wanted to share with you what the Scripture says. Yes, God has revealed His will and what we must do to please Him. Take a look at, it's not going to be a pop quiz on heaven. When you get to the day of judgment, many people have all these different ideas and different cartoons that they draw about, oh, we're at the pearly gates, right? Many jokes about that, right? And things that are going to happen. I tell you, most of them are wrong, right? That's not the way it's going to happen. You're going to give an account for what you have done. So have you studied about this? Have you applied it? Have you lived it? Are you maturing, being transformed into His image? God's Holy Scriptures can make you wise for salvation in Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:15. And 2 Peter 1:3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertaineth to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. See, God wants you to be saved. He's made a way for you to be saved. And so then when we look at 1 John, the Holy Spirit through John says 26 times, 23 things that we can know, including these things. We can know that we know Jesus, chapter 2, verse 3. We can know that we are in Jesus, chapter 2, verse 5, and 5, verse 20. We can know the truth, chapter 2, verse 21. We can know that everyone that does righteousness is born of God, chapter 2, verse 29. We can know that when Jesus appears, we will be like Him, chapter 3, verse 2. And we can know that we have passed from death unto life, chapter 3, verse 14. We can know that we are the truth of the truth, chapter 3, verse 19. We can know God, chapter 4, verse 6. We can know that we dwell in God, chapter 4, verse 13. And we can know that we have eternal life, chapter 5, and verse 13. John seems to think that we know, and we can know, and he says we can know. Again, the question is, do you know? Paul knew. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, he says to Timothy, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now verse 6 through 8, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. That's us. Everyone who loves His appearing is going to receive that crown because they're prepared. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11, after speaking of adding to our faith and our knowledge, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul knew, Peter knew, and then John knew. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Do you hear that? Confidence. Do you have that confidence today? That's comforting to know, isn't it? Our citizenship's in heaven. We're looking forward to that. Those that live that way have this confidence and this comfort. Well, how do we know these things? Briefly, we by the study of the Word of God, by doing God's commandments, walking in the light, walking by the Spirit to completely know Him, and by refining and growing and transforming, being submitted to His will in everything. Also, we're going to anticipate. We are longing for the excitement of his soon return. He says, come quickly in Revelation 20 and verse 22 and verse 20. So yes, we can know. So that's a way. That question has been solved now. So we can know. The question now is, when you answered question number one earlier, are you ready? Are you sure of your answer? You see, unfortunately, that depends on what did you base your answer. The possible answers again are yes, no, and I'm not sure. So it's one thing to answer the question. It's another thing to know if you're sure, because there is also the possibility that you're wrong in your answers. Take a look at in the bulletin today, for example, there's an article about an atheist who came to a wrong conclusion based on misinformation and a misunderstanding of the scriptures. So again, we had to correct that. And so hopefully his eternal salvation wasn't based on a misunderstanding. I speak with folks all the time who think or believe or have been told that they're going to heaven. But again, not I, but the Word of God tells a different story. Same Word that's going to judge you. Now, some have believed a lie, a false teaching. Some have listened to the wrong information. Popular things today are, well, you're okay. You're good enough. We're all are going to heaven just by different paths. We've heard those. Good people. You know, good people, surely they're not going to hell. They're good people. But the scripture says in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12 and verse 23, none are good, no, not one, all have sinned. Who are you going to listen to, the Word of God or what somebody said? Being a good whatever or popular or rich or showing up at this building even three times a week is not by itself going to get you to heaven. Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Not just outside, those outside of Christ. This also applies to those inside the church, because he also warns of false teachers in Matthew 7, verse 15, and also 2 Peter 2:1. They exist, so know God's word yourself. If you're relying on somebody else and they're wrong, then you're going to be wrong also. For several reasons, some even in this audience are not currently pleasing to God, but maybe they think they are. We look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus tells a parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. All started out, right? But not all were prepared and ready. So 5 were allowed in, 5 were not. Think about the church. Many start, but not all finish faithfully, right? So which half would you be in? Let's be clear now. When we become a Christian, we are saved and we're on our way to heaven. But there's an expectation of growth, maturity, transformation into the image of Jesus. We are saved to serve. We don't serve in order to be saved. We are to live as his children, right? So, to answer the question from the scriptures, when someone obeys the gospel, it'll be a blank slide. Just listen for a moment. Nothing on the screen. When someone obeys the gospel and comes in faith, repentance, confessing his name and is baptized, the Lord adds them to his church, his body, and they are saved by his grace and by obedience to his will. We are then disciples of Jesus. In Matthew 28, 20 says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, because we are saved, we rise to walk a new life and we act like Christians, followers of Jesus. Not to earn salvation, but because that is who we are. We died to sin in our old self and have surrendered ourselves completely to him. And we are to live and look like him more each day, to grow up into and be transformed into his likeness, his image. Many scriptures that talk about this, Romans 6, 4, 8, 29. Ephesians 4:15, 2 Corinthians 3:18, 2 Peter 1:5-7. We just had a whole series about this, didn't we? Living on purpose. We discussed all these things and lessons. In the Christian life, we call this holiness. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, quoting from Leviticus. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So, are you more holy than you used to be? Are you purifying yourself? Are you following him? Even as 2 Peter 1:5 through 7, adding to your faith and your knowledge and your love. Or have you stopped growing? Stopped maturing? Decided, okay, I'm good enough now. That's when things also start to happen and things start coming into your life that you do not want to come into your life. But maybe you've grown in several areas. Maybe there's one area, though, that you're not willing to change. You're not willing to grow. You're still stagnant in that one area. Give the example of sports. At a very young age, a child can do many of the basics fairly well. We're kind of impressed, aren't we? Hey, look at that three-year-old. They can swing the bat really well. But what if they were 20 and still swinging the same way? You'd say, what? They hadn't grown, right? They haven't developed. You see, while they are never perfect, they strive for perfection. But some have not grown or matured and stay as babes. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 talks about such. For example, in our Lads Leaders program, the young folks can learn and demonstrate their abilities, and we watch them grow and improve over time. We can see that. But you know what? As Christians, we improve our discipleship our whole lives. We don't stop growing. An example of the rich young ruler came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 22, and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this is before the church. But he says, Jesus said what? The basic stuff, right? Keep the law of Moses, which he was under at the time. And he said, well, I've done that, right? And then he even got bold. He said, what else? Do I lack anything? I want to be sure. He is asking the question, what do I lack? And then he says, uh-oh, Jesus told him what he lacked. Those are the answers we don't like, is it? He has told us what we lack. And if you're lacking something, what did he go away? He went away sorrowful, right? He wasn't willing to let go of that thing. He wasn't willing to let go of those things that he lacked. He was holding on. You see, he had not given his all. He did most. He did a lot. And that's what people say today, right? Wow, that person over there has done a lot. That's a good thing. But you don't know their heart, but God does. And God is going to judge you on your heart and anything that you may lack. So what do you lack? What is keeping you from inheriting the kingdom of heaven? For what will you not have a good answer for when asked to give an account? See, you know what it is, don't you? And as you study God's word, you're going to know where you need to grow. That is an ongoing thing. So let's drill down one more level. Because there are some folks who have not understood what God has said in his word about obedience to his grace. We love him who first loved us by keeping or doing his commandments. 1 John 4:19 and 5 verse 3. And by accepting his offer, which is found only through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, Romans 6, we walk after the Spirit, Galatians 5, and in love, Ephesians 5, 2. You are to be doers of the word, James 1, 21 and 22. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Did he stop there? Just hear the word? But be doers of the word and work, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, some people are not ready because they're hearers only and not doers. And they have deceived themselves to think, oh, I'm good, I'm okay. Let's examine some examples. Get real here for a moment. Back in October 4th, did a lesson about legalism, minimalism. Used several examples. Even used examples about attendance of the assembly, not just worship, but assembling together for various purposes. We spoke the word of God, but did people change? Did the attendance suddenly go up on Sunday nights or for Bible classes? Why not? That's what the Bible said. Now, we're not talking about folks that have health reasons and such like that, but are you examining yourself as to what, like, we always go to Hebrews 10. He says, stir up toward love and good deeds. Well, when are you stirring other folks up into love and good deeds? He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but he didn't even say do it occasionally, did he? He said, and so much the more, in the context of our lesson today, did you ever notice that next phrase? As you see the day approaching. Are we closer to eternity today than we were yesterday? And he says, Christians want to get together with Christians that are on their way to heaven, don't they? So what does that say about folks that, again, next Sunday, for example, we're going to have a potluck and an early service. Don't even have to drive here twice, right? We should have 95%, right? Because there are some folks that have health issues. Are we going to have 95%? Don't even have to drive back. So what's important? We can spend all day at a ball game. We can spend all day at the beach. Can't spend 3 hours here with Christians. But I'm going to heaven. I'm ready. You're going to have to answer for what you're doing. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I said. We've studied the scriptures, Galatians 6:10, as you have opportunity. You will be judged by your opportunities and abilities and responses. One I've asked about is Ladies' Day, for example, since I didn't attend. There's some folks here that have never been to a single Ladies' Day or Wings. And I'm going, why not? Is it need a ride? Or I know some people can't drive at night. We're talking about over years of time. In fact, I think they're having a meeting today about that very thing. So the point is that are we forsaking what the Lord said, don't forsake, and then we think we're doing okay? Ask yourself that question. We handed out several involvement sheets again. And so what can you do? And what boxes did you check? You're going to answer for that. Some will not even fill it out and hand it back in. But they're a member of the church, right? They're on their way to heaven. What about your example? We'll go through several examples here real quickly. Your lifestyle, is it glorifying God? Or is it just glorifying God here on Sunday morning? What about TV show marathons? Boy, if Netflix, it starts playing that next one even before you get through the credits, right? There's nothing wrong with watching a good show. When was the last time you did a Bible marathon? When did you watch some videos about the Christian life? How to be a better servant? You got time for that? Are you a good steward of your time? You're also going to be judged, for example, on your marriage. You made a vow. We just had lessons about that. But you're to serve your spouse, right? You're to respect your husband. Husbands are to love and cherish their wives. You're going to be judged on what you committed to, what you are supposed to do, not anybody else. What about giving? Boy, he already said in class, we don't like lessons about giving, do we? Why not? God gave you everything. Are you not being good stewards? In fact, 2 Corinthians 8:5 is the key. They first gave themselves, then they gave to others. Hospitality. What about those in need? If you were able to make 10 times your giving, but that's all you were going to make, it's 10 times what you gave today, would you change your attitudes and your amounts of giving? Could you even live on 10 times what you gave today? You say, well, Paul, that's legalism. That's tithing. That's all this. Oh, he said, purposed in your heart. You're going to be judged on what you are giving, not just through the church, what you give each day of your life, of your time, your resources. All right? self-sacrifice. What about all the one another passages? Are you doing those? I'm not even going to list all of them. We've had so many lessons about one anothering, right? But if you're not one anothering, I'll tell you right now, you can't sit at home by yourself and one another. You know. But some people think they are. So anyway, some of you are doing a great job. Don't want to make it sound like nobody's doing anything, right? But you are going to have to give an answer for you. And so we are to examine ourselves. We are to encourage one another. There are hundreds of examples we could give. Basically, all is for God and His glory. But I do wonder, why do some people pretend like they're going to go to heaven when they're really not even actually preparing to go? They just want to pretend, look at me, I'm on my way. Third question that we want to ask today is, if you're not ready, would you make changes? Because it's one thing to say there might need some changes in your life. And it's another thing to even point them out. But if you still don't do anything about it, we'd say the ball's in your court, right? It's up to you at this point. You're either ready or you're not ready. What about future changes? You see, there's two general categories of people. Those that are ready, those that are not. Now, within these two categories are two subsets. Those that will stay in that state and those that will change. And it goes both ways. So you can now be ready, but later become unready by letting sin back into your life or by walking disorderly, etc. You can also not be ready now, but then repent and obey God's plan in order to be saved. So changes can go both ways. So, you see, I've wrongly thought in the past that if people just knew what was right, they would do it. That the reason that they did wrong was they simply didn't know better. Well, I was mistaken. People still choose to do wrong even after knowing what's right, don't they? Maybe even you. Do you know to do something right? To him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's to sin to him. Some even after becoming a Christian. Yes, there are some of those who have told me that they were leaving the church to do their own thing, even if it meant they were going to hell. Well, they were honest about it. They said, that's my choice. I'm going. That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to do this anymore. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you've been given time to repent, to change, to make correction. Wouldn't it be wonderful, as soon as we were baptized, we died right then and went to heaven. But then who would teach the other folks, right? He's left us here to teach the word, because you are responsible for you. Nobody else, not a preacher, you're not responsible for anybody else, not the parents or child or children or anybody. You will give an account for you. You must answer for what the Lord has instructed for you. If you were under the old law, you had to keep the old law. If you're under the new covenant, which we are going to keep that. If you're married, there's things for you. If you're not married, there's things for you. You see, whatever applies to you is where you're going to be. What you're going to have to give an account for. So you must make sure that you are ready. So who's really ultimately going to make sure you're ready? You. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast in every transgression, and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. How can you reject God and expect, oh, nothing's going to happen? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. So in the next chapter it says, Hebrews 3, 12 through 15, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. There's one of those one another's. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So is your heart hardened? Anytime we do a lesson like this, people are thinking, well, I wish so-and-so was here. That's the catch-22, isn't it? The ones who are lost usually don't care about being lost. Those that think they're on the way to heaven and don't need anything, they don't hear that they do. They're not going to study and find out that they do. We are going to have to take that to them and help them with that. But we also have to ask ourselves, have we hardened our heart? Or are we rebelling? Are we being selfish and self-centered and wanting just to be our own God? We're going to edit God. You know, as long as God agrees with me, everything's okay. Do you assume that you have plenty of time to get ready? Some people today say, I know I'm lost. I know I'm not in a good position. If the Lord were to come right now, I would not go to heaven. But you know, I got plenty of time. Really? First of all, we always say we don't know how much time we have. I'll even go one step further. Do you have life insurance? Why didn't you buy life insurance if you've got plenty of time? Why didn't you wait 2 to 3 months before you got sick or died and then buy it? See? You don't know. And you don't act like you know in other parts of your life. And yet when it comes to eternity, we're just going to slough it off. So that makes no sense. And so you only have right now. And so today, we've asked ourselves some questions. If the Lord were to return today, are you ready for that great day? Are you ready to answer right now for the life that you've lived? And would those answers be in accordance with His Word? If yes, then stay faithful and bring others to Christ. Keep growing and working. Many of you have stepped up. You are doing more than you used to. You're finding new ways. Some of you can't do what you used to do. And you're saying, what can I do? And that's what you're doing. That's all the Lord asks. It's the same attitude of Paul, though, in Philippians 1, 21 through 24. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Revelation 2, verse 10 ends with, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Yes, if you know and your answer is yes today, I am ready. God bless you and stay there. Stay ready. Don't give up. Question number two was, are you sure of your answer? And yes, you can be sure. Even today you can be sure. You can leave here ready. And that's what we hope will happen if you're not ready. If you're not sure, then you have some study and research to do, don't you? You have some examination to do with your life. If you don't know, it behooves you to know. The third question is, if you realized you're not ready, are you going to make any changes or corrections in your life? The good news is that there is a solution, there is hope, because Jesus has paid the price for your sins and provided a way of escape. If you've never accepted His gracious offer by hearing of His Word, believing, repenting, and then confessing His name to put Him on in baptism, we want to give you that opportunity today. And if you've started as a Christian and have fallen away, gone back into sin, you must repent. Not just confess, but change your life. Submit daily to His commandments, and you once again will be ready. But the choice is yours. It is your soul, your eternity. No one but you will be judged for you. So if you choose to stay with a no answer, guess what? I know your future and you do too. Wherever you are right now, if it doesn't change, is where it will be. We've talked about judgment. We've talked about this great day. And on that great day that is coming, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52 says, behold, I'll tell you a mystery. Go on one more slide. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up or laid bare. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Revelation 20, one of the most famous passages about the judgment seat and the judgment that we will all have. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This day will happen. It is coming. You can know your future. Are you ready? Do you know for sure? If you need to respond, please come now as we stand and sing.
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.